Hi, this is the bit before the theme music. Now, it might not sound like it, but I've got a really sore throat, so I'm not doing a bit before the theme music today. Tell you what happened. My wife, her friends came over from Sweden, her best friend moved to Sweden. I don't want to go into that, but the fact of the matter is, they've got two kids, their kids brought their filthy germs with them, so now I've got a sore throat, Juno's got a sore throat, my wife's annoying, it's got nothing to do with having a sore throat. So now I've got a sore throat, which means you guys don't get the bit before the theme music. And I feel really bad about that. I really do. So, and it might not sound like I've got a sore throat, but I have. It's really quite painful to speak. So no bit before the theme music today. I'm just going to just do the show. Okay, cool.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Do you know what? I've just realised that I should have done like a really croaky voice because I have got a sore throat. It might not sound like it. I have got a sore, but if I, you know, like when you phone up work, if you like pretending to be sick or if you actually are sick, if you are sick, you still put on like a more sick voice, don't you? Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'm really ill. I can't come in today. Even though you wouldn't be talking like that normally, but you do it because then they think, oh yeah, he really is sick. So I should have done that. I should have gone, oh yeah, I've got a really sore throat. Do you know what? Forget it. Forget it. We'll just do the show. Let's just do the show.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, says team, trusty old Red Rider Carbine Action 2 on the Shot Range Model Air Rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people. Here comes the interactive bit. Are you ready? How are you? Yeah. Me, I've got a really sore throat. I know it doesn't sound like it, but I've got a really sore... It just feels scratchy to talk, but it doesn't make my voice sound any different. But I have got a sore throat. Yeah. And scene. How was that? Good? Bad? Ugly? Probably. I've had quite a lot of emails. If you've emailed me and I don't reply, that's because I'm rude. But if you've emailed me and I haven't mentioned what you talked about on the podcast, that's also because I'm rude, but also because I forget a lot. So please don't hate me if I haven't talked about the stuff you've emailed me about. First up, I got one from Barry Grapefruit. I haven't heard from him in ages, right? And this is what he said. Dear Jack, I noticed that your podcast has now been running for 2 years, but you didn't celebrate this or mention it on the show. Is this because your show is so bad that it's not worth celebrating? By the way, I don't know if your listening figures have gone down, but I've stopped listening because it is atrocious. Yours, Barry Grapefruit. Do you know what? He's right. It is. I've been doing it 2 years now. It's just over 2 years. Yeah. The start of April is when I started it. April 2020. That's when the first episode came out. It's been 2 years. Last year we had a massive celebration. We didn't have a massive celebration last year. We're not having a massive celebration this year. Do you know what I mean? It's only 2 years. If I only do 26 episodes a year or whatever, so it's like I'll be celebrating every 26 episodes. It's another milestone. It's a shame that Barry's not listening anymore though, because I wanted to tell him this. Get stuffed, Barry Grapefruit. Get stuffed. But I also got a fantastic email from Benji Pearson. Do you remember the week before? In the previous episode, I'd mentioned something about, I don't know if they had matches in Scrooge's time. Benji Pearson emails in, says, yes, they probably did, because The Little Match Girl was written well before A Christmas Carol was written. Then this last episode, I'm there saying about the plastic bucket that falls... most of you probably didn't bother watching the version of A Christmas Carol that I covered in the last episode. You should, because it's a really quite a decent one. There's a few bad bits, but generally it's pretty good. But there's a scene in it where he's checking, like, you know, for ghosts in his house. This is just after he's seen Marley's face in the door knocker. Goes into this room, opens it, and a bucket of some sort falls down, and it looks, and it kicks it, and it looks so light, it looks like it's made of plastic. So I pretty much assumed it was a plastic bucket, and it annoyed me, and I was saying, like, how stupid this was, right? Benji emailed me. This is what he said. He's put, no, they didn't have plastic buckets in the 1840s, but they also didn't have them in the 1930s. I suspect this is a cardboard or wood veneer hat box. Notice how it rolls. It's a bit oval, not perfectly round. And he's right. He is so right. It is. I've watched it loads of times. Got to admit, the first few times I watched it again, I kept thinking, that does look plastic. But it does also look oval. And of course it's a hat box, because we see Scrooge wear two different top hats in that film. So yeah, thank you so much. And do you know what? He sent me three links. One of them talks about like hat boxes, and the other two links are the history of the bucket. I can't lie to you, I didn't bother reading them. But I do really appreciate the effort that Benji put in. Isn't that great? So yeah, thank you for that, Benji. I really do appreciate it. Good work. I also received a lovely email from a chap called, now I'm going to say this wrong probably, it could be John Gomez, I'm guessing John Gomez, or it could be John Gomes. And he's just put, I found your podcast while looking for old Christmas radio episodes. I started listening and absolutely love it. My cat even listens. I live in California and now you have three new listeners, my wife and cat included. Keep up the good work and Merry Christmas. So that's fantastic. And do you know what? I've checked the listening figures and they have gone up by one. Obviously, if they're listening to it together, unless they're downloading it separately, which is unlikely, that is only going to account for one listening figure. So I have got four listeners now. Five. If I've got five listeners now. But, right, there's another new one out there somewhere. Because Barry Grapefruit said he's not listening anymore. So that's one of my listeners. So I've lost a listener, I've gained two. And if things keep up like that, whoa, baby, whoa. The numbers are going to go through the roof. It's going to take about 1,000 years, but through the roof. I also received another fantastic email from Kevin Church. Kevin sent in a few emails in the past. I've read out some of his stuff. I don't know if I put this on Facebook. I hope I did. He sent me a picture of an igloo he'd made for his daughter in his garden. It was phenomenal. Like, really. He sent me other pictures that I hope I've put on Facebook as well, of craft stuff he made for his daughter leading up to Christmas. He's quite the craftsman, young Kevin is. There's a few things in his email that I will cover in later episodes. But right now, I want to talk about the last bit he says in his email, because he's put, what do you think about being asked what you want for Christmas? Does that happen much over there? I find it very cringy and it ruins the surprise. Not to mention any attempt at including a sense of Christmas magic or mystery, etc. It's too lazy. It's like, here's that thing we talked about, Merry Christmas. It seems like it's getting more common lately too. It makes me wince. And he's put another poll idea, and it is the sort of thing I would want to put a poll out to the listeners for if I thought the listeners would bother replying. But bearing in mind I've got five of them, and they very rarely, Benji Pearson would probably get involved. Thanks, Benji. Actually, maybe email me your views on that, Benji. Do you like people asking you what you want for Christmas? Here's my take on it, right? I don't hate it, because I'd sort of give people a rough idea. I wouldn't say exactly what I want, you know, but then there was a time when I was younger. It's like the only people that really bought me Christmas presents was like in a family. Otherwise, people used to give me money when I was like in my sort of late teens, early 20s. But what I used to do was write a list of stuff I was keen to get and then just pin it to the board in the kitchen. And then they could sort of like choose one. So I had about 10 things. I never knew exactly what I was going to get. But it's sort of like writing your letter to Santa, isn't it? And obviously Santa wasn't seeing me then because I'd been a bad boy. That's not the only reason. I was obviously a grown man. So that's the other reason. But mainly because I was a bad boy, probably, to be honest. Anyway, so I think nowadays, if people ask Carla, because they'll talk to her what to get me, and she'll probably give them, she'll probably tell them to get me a bottle of rum, actually. I think one year I ended up with like 8 bottles of rum. That was a good year. That was a very good year. So I see what you mean if you tell them exactly what you want. It's weird, isn't it? Because if you're the kind of person that definitely just wants one thing or one or two things, you say, this is what I want, make sure you get that. It does take all the magic out of it. But at the same time, if it's something you really want that much, then it's fantastic when you get it. And you're like, it's just what I wanted because it's what I asked for. Yeah, a tricky one, isn't it? But I suppose some people are notoriously hard to buy for. So it is better if you tell them exactly what you want or just give them a rough idea. I think my wife knows to buy me books about Christmas or anything to do with Charlie Brown, that sort of stuff she tends to get me, yeah. Anyway, if you've got your thoughts on this, please email them in and let me know what you think about people asking you what you want for Christmas. How you feel about it. Thanks again for the email, Kevin. Like I said, I've got a few bits on his email I'm going to cover. A great story I want to read out. But that's for next episode. Now it's time for this.
Robin and Gino.
You see that? I just stole the jingle from the girls' podcast because I got some. Actually, I might get the girls in later to get their take on this one. But I got an email from someone who wants my advice. Can I just repeat that? Someone who wants my advice. I don't know what to say. I'm touched, obviously, but. You know, am I the right man for the job? We'll find out, won't we? I'll read out their email. then I'll give my advice and you can sit there and think, no, he's not the right man for. Or you might think, oh, that's not bad advice, actually. Right, this is what they said. So they used the contact form on the website so that I didn't get their email address with their name attached to it, because they don't want me to know who they are, because they don't want... To be honest, they probably don't want the person this is about to hear it, right? I think you can rest assured, on a planet where there's over 7 billion people, the odds of them listening to it, bearing in mind that I've got 5 listeners, are very slim. Very slim. Anyway, this is what she's put. Or he, actually. I was wondering if I could get some advice on a common holiday problem I have been having. I only trust your brilliant and humorous mind with the best solution to solve it. I added that bit. I didn't actually, I didn't. Right. I usually host our family Christmas dinners and gift exchange at my house. It is agreed upon that everyone splits up the cooking responsibilities and bring a portion of food and drinks with them to the party. Every year, my brother, who I love very much, comes with his 5 adult children and 4 grandchildren and bring a pack of buns and a couple of sodas when the rest of the family put in the hard work. The problem is, when they leave, they take enough of the leftovers to eat for a week and leave little for anyone else. I've tried hiding the tinfoil and paper plates, but they eventually started bringing their own. It annoys everyone, but no one wants to say anything to them. I can't be the only person that deals with this. I would love your take on this. Jack Ask would be a good segment title, or maybe not. Do you know, when I first read that, I thought, Jack Ask, wouldn't it be better Ask Jack? But now I've realised it's like a play on Jack Ask, but it's Jack Ask. So, yeah, maybe I should have made a new jingle for it. I can't imagine many people really want my advice, but still, I've had a good think about this one. So, and I also talked to my wife about it. Now, first up, right, because I sort of see there's 2 parts to this problem. One, they don't bring anything, or don't bring much. 2, they take a lot with them, right? Easy way to deal with the first thing, right? Or I'd like to think, okay? What you do is you delegate. So you tell them what they have to bring. You say, oh, so what you want to say is something like, oh, I've got so much on this year. I was going to share the cooking responsibilities. So if you could bring this, this, and this, right? And then they've got to bring it, right? Because otherwise there's not going to be enough food there. So that way, they're putting more into the pot. So when it comes to them taking out, it's not quite so bad, okay? Can't promise it's going to work. It might be that they just bring a pack of buns and all the food that you'd normally have isn't there because they just bought buns instead of the things they're supposed to bring. But they've got 5 adult children. You'd like to think they'd be able to do something as well, wouldn't they? This is just, you know, I'm hoping that part of the solution would work. Right? Now, the second part of the solution, this is where it gets a bit tricky, okay? Because you've said it annoys everyone, but no one wants to say anything to them. That's the problem you've got, is no one wants to say anything. Because if it was me, I'd be like, this is not bravado, okay? If I see an injustice, I'd be like, what? You taking all that? That's what you're doing? No, actually, right, I'm going to tell you exactly what I'd say. And what you do is you cut this bit out of the podcast and just play it through your speaker as they're doing it, right? You say, oh, listen to this. And are you ready? This is what I'd say, right? What? You're taking all that? You're taking all of that? I bought half of that food. I bought it here. I cooked some of that. My wife cooked most of it. Right? I bought that here, okay, in my car, right, that my wife cooked. And you're taking all... I'm having some of it. No, you're not having it. You're not taking it. No, right. No, we'll share it. I'll tell you what, we're going to share it evenly. No, I'm going to do it. I'll do it. I'll divvy it up into portions for everyone, right? And then, do you know what? I'll even let you pick the first portion so you get to choose which bit you want, okay? Has anyone else got a problem with that? No, is everyone cool? Yeah, we're doing that? Yeah, that sounds fair. I think that's fair. That's because we want to be fair because it's Christmas. The time of the year for giving to everyone, not just you. All right, and I cannot believe you bought your own tinfoil and plates. You bought a pack of buns, you bought some sodas, and you bought tinfoil and plates. What is that? Who brings tinfoil and paper plates to a gathering so that they... Because you're more interested in what you're going to take home with you than what you're bringing here. Do you know what? I cannot believe it. I cannot believe it. No, I'm doing it. I'm splitting up. You put that back down now. Put it back down now. Put it down. No, I'm splitting up. I don't care. I do not care. I'm going to split it up. I'm splitting up. I'm splitting up. I don't care what you say. And scene. There you go. Just play that to them. Do you think that'll work? If you learnt it, right, you could sort of lip sync along to it. or get someone else to lip sync along to it. We could all lip sync. That'd be brilliant. But that's what you do, okay? You get the whole family to lip sync along to my rant that I just did. That I would actually do if I was in a situation like that. I would. I know I would. Because, you know when you go to like a restaurant and everyone's sharing the food? Like, say if you go to a Chinese restaurant, say, or Indian, so, it's, you know, so there's lots of different... And I see someone just loading up on something. And I'm like, no, don't have that much. Just take a bit, because we've all got to share this. And I've got no qualms about that. They're not going to suddenly kick off about it. Like, no, I want all this. They're going to be like, oh. And then they realise, yeah, because I've drawn attention to it, they can't behave in that manner. So I stand by that. That's what I think would be the perfect solution. See, there's another solution, okay? And that is to do exactly what you've been doing, but try not to care. Because if you don't want a scene, if you don't want, if not one of you is willing to lip sync along to my rant or do your very own rant, you don't have to copy mine, you know, freestyle it, do it your way. If no one's going to do that, and you have said that you love your brother, if that's the situation, then you know what? Maybe just let him get on with it. If that's the kind of person he is, you know, just say, do you know what? That's who he is. Let him be like that. And sadly, let the food go. There is one other solution. This is the other solution. If I wasn't feeling like, you know, particularly lively that day, which is very rare, you know, if I see something like that going on, I will spout. The other solution is something else that I would do. And that is, right, I just make sure I ate the whole lot. And I would like make sure, because if they like, I would take it, not taking it, because it's here for food. This is food. I'm eating it. And I would eat the whole lot. Maybe like, you know, to try and get a few people to come and help me. But then I can imagine it be like, oh, don't eat that. But the other night, I had a curry with a mate, right? And we both, it was like one of those where you sort of share it. We bought a load of stuff. And he had his bit and I had my bit and we're eating it. Right, and then I just sat back and he had a bit more, and a bit more, a bit more. And I waited, and I waited. I was like, wait, are you done? He's like, yeah, I think so. I was like, right, cool. And then I just poured the rest of it on my plate. That's what I did. I poured the whole lot on my plate. And just, it's like I'd had like nearly three whole meals. I just wolfed it down like a dirty pig. Because I've got quite a large appetite. I'm not a big man. I'm quite slim. But I can eat. I can put it away. And that's what I would do to spite your brother. Or if it was my brother, to spite my brother. And I would sit at that table while everyone else is trying to have fun and that. Trying to have fun. It's hard to have fun when you can hear some bloke in the background eating like a dirty pig. But that's what I would do. I would sit at that table and I would just keep eating until it was all gone. And I don't care how much food there was there. Or, actually, here's a fourth option. Like, what you do, right, is when the food's finished, right, you spit on it. Or right, you go, oh, sorry, I'm just going to spit on everything. And they'll be like, why are you doing that? It's like snow. It's Christmas snow. It's not very nice. This fourth option is not a great one. But it's worth thinking about. So you sort of spit on all the food. And like kids do. You know, like when you'll lick something so no one wants it. Just lick the food. That's probably nicer, isn't it? Than spitting on it. Lick the food. Yeah, I wish I hadn't said the bit about spitting. And it's like it's snow. I wish I hadn't said that. But I could edit it out, but I'm not going to. So that's the fourth option, is lick all the food. Lick every bit of it. And make sure they see you doing that. There you go. I hope that has solved the problem. I've given you four fantastic options there to go with. Let's see if the girls... I will put this to the girls, but I can't imagine they'll come up with a better option than my one. No. I'd like to think I've solved the problem. And if you've got a Christmas dilemma that you need sorting out by an imbecile, then send it to me. I am that imbecile. I will sort it out. Right. Let's have the girls. Bring on the girls.
I'm singing. I'm in a stall and I'm singing. I'm in a stall and I'm singing.
Hey, there's no singing in the North Pole. Boys and girls, it is the triumphant return of Robin and Juno. Say hello, girls.
Hello.
Before they sing this song, we're just going to get their take on this advice situation. So, girls, let me just update you. I usually host our family Christmas dinners and gift exchange at my house. It is agreed upon that everyone splits up the cooking responsibilities and bring a portion of food and drinks with them to the party. Every year, my brother, which I love very much, comes with his five adult children and four grandchildren and bring a pack of buns and a couple of sodas when the rest of the family put in the hard work. The problem is when they leave, they take enough of the leftovers to eat for a week and leave little for anyone else. I've tried hiding the tinfoil and paper plates, but they eventually started bringing their own. It annoys everyone, but no one wants to say anything to them. What advice can you give about this situation?
You can tell them you don't have to bring their own plates.
What, you're saying you're going to provide the plates for them to take the stuff home with them?
Yeah.
No, the point is we don't want them to take the stuff home with them.
Oh, I wasn't really listening.
Okay. Okay, well, there you go. Robin wasn't listening, so that's that sorted. Juno, have you got anything you want to say?
Don't know.
Okay, that's fine. Well, there you go. So my advice was much better, but good work anyway, girls. Right, do you want to introduce the song?
We're singing this song because Bob Baper... Baper. We're singing this song because Bob Baker requested... We're singing this song because Bob Baker requested it. Requested it. It's Where Are You Christmas? Where are you Christmas? Why can't I find you? Why have you gone away? My world is changing. I'm rearranging. Does that mean Christmas changes too? Where are you Christmas? Do you remember the girl you used to know? We were so carefree. And now nothing's easy. Has Christmas changed or just me? Thank you. So that's the song we were going to sing today.
Yes.
Bye everyone.
Bye everyone.
So I don't know if you remember in the last episode I mentioned an email I'd got from my new friend Mayor Bob Baker. He is actually the mayor of his town. He's a mayor. That's the kind of quality listener I have on this podcast. He's the mayor. Yeah. The mayor. The mayor. I'm saying mayor, aren't I? The mayor. He's the mayor. If you say that word too often, it doesn't make it. Mayor. 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 He's the mayor. 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 He's the mayor. What is this podcast becoming? Dear Lord. Right, let's get on with it. So, Bob Baker, Mayor Bob Baker, sent in an email. There's quite a few bits to it. I read out some of it, right? But the one bit I wanted to cover this episode, right, is he mentioned a TV show in the UK called Jack's Boat, and he'd heard that there was a really good Christmas episode. And there is a... Now, I want to just tell you a bit about Jack's Boat.
This is the place to be for Salty Dog and me. Down by the harbour, we'll be there. Round every corner, there's something to share. Give us a cheer, our friends are here. To Salty Dog and me. Ha ha! Come on, Salty!
Now, it only ran for 2 seasons. There's about 20-odd episodes in each season, though. So there's like 40 episodes like that. And they had a couple of spin-off shows as well, like more kiddie cartoons. One was Rockpool Tales, and the other one was Salty Dog Tales. And I've never seen the Salty Dog Tales one, but the Rockpool Tales is like an animation of like little creatures in a rock pool, like you see in anemones and crabs and stuff. The main show was called Old Jack's Boat, and this chap, Old Jack, is played by Bernard Cribbins. Now, I did mention a bit about Bernard Cribbins in the last episode. I want to say a bit more about him, actually. He's a real national treasure in the UK. But he's very old now, so young kids... Well, actually, they'd know him off Jack's Boat, thinking about it. I was going to say people wouldn't know him so much now, but he's still out there. He's still doing stuff. But he was quite famous in the 60s. I played a bit of one of the songs he'd released. I'll play a bit of another song he released, which is one of my favourites of his.
There I was, digging his hole in the ground, so big and sort of round it was, and there was I, digging it deep, it was flat at the bottom, and the sides were steep. When along comes this bloke in a bowler, which he lifted and scratched his head. Whoa, he looked down the hole, poor demented soul, and he said, do you mind if I make a suggestion? Don't dig it there, dig it elsewhere, you're digging it round, and it ought to be...
I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but that's one of his songs. In the 60s, they made a couple of Doctor Who movies, like full-length movies. They ran sort of alongside the TV show with different actors. Peter Cushing, who you'd probably know as Moff Tarkin, played Doctor Who. And in the second one of those films, it's Doctor Who and the Daleks, and then Doctor Who and the Daleks Invasion or something. I should have done more research. Actually, I did do the research. I just didn't write it down. Should have made more notes. But his sidekick in the second film was played by Bernard Cribbins. And what's interesting is he also, as an older man, he played a sidekick to Doctor Who in like two Christmas episodes, I think around 2010 or something. So he's the only actor to have played two different characters as a sidekick to Doctor Who, which, again, I said was interesting at the start. It is, if you like that. If you like Doctor Who, it's almost interesting. Anyway, he's done loads of acting, loads of TV presenting, lots of kids shows and stuff like that, as well as stuff for grown-ups as well. He is old Jack, and it sort of starts off with him. Normally there's a bit where he is like walking through the town, and he'll interact with a few people in the town, and they might have some sort of problem, and he'll help him resolve it maybe. And then he goes back to his old boat, which is called the Rainbow, it's a colourful boat, and he sits down and he tells a story to his dog, who's called Salty. And this Christmas episode is called The Christmas Quest. And do you know what? I can't do it justice by explaining what happens, but he just tells a story about how one Christmas, a friend of his called Sailor Sue had bought loads of Christmas presents, but the wind had sort of blown them off out to sea. And so they go on this Christmas quest to get the presents back. Now, I don't want to go into the story and tell you exactly what happens, but that's sort of what, well, that's pretty much what happens. They go out and get the presents back. But the twist at the end, I'm not kidding to you, kids. Now, you can't actually watch it because it's not on the, it's called the iPlayer. That's the BBC. It's got like, a lot of channels have got their online where you can sort of stream stuff. So it's got the BBC iPlayer. Hasn't actually got the old Jack episodes on there. But they have got CBeebies Radio. Now, CBeebies is, it's like children's BBC, but it's for the preschoolers. And this episode, they've got the audio of it, which is enough. You could, you know, I listened to it at work. And I'm not kidding, this is true, right? I almost started crying. Like, I actually, like, I was there, got gardening, and I sort of stopped and had a moment. And I was like, And here's the thing, I really wanted, a part of me was going to record it off the internet and then just bung it at the end of this episode, but I couldn't do it because I thought, do you know what, copyright, if I got caught, I'd be in trouble. And I just, and it's such a shame because I'm not 100% sure you'll be able to download it in other countries because I don't know what it's like trying to access the BBC website. So what I'm going to do is I will put a link in the show notes and I'll put a link on Facebook. And if you can't get it, email me. If you can't access it and you can't listen to it online, it's about 15 minutes long and it really is worth listening to. If you can't access it, email me and I will record it and then email it to you. And that way I can't get done for copyright. I probably could get done for copyright, but they're not going to bother with that. Whereas if I actually had it at the end of my podcast episode, I think I'd get in a bit of trouble. So yeah, if you want to hear it, and you can't access, I don't know what the deal is from other countries access. You get the point. I've explained it to you. I'm not going over it again. Right. Just a little aside. This episode was written by Russell T. Davies. And if you're there going, who's Russell T. Davies? Well, Russell T. Davies is the chap that was responsible for bringing Doctor Who back when it sort of had its resurgence in the early 2000s. And he left the show, but apparently he's coming back next year. He's going to be running the show again. Doctor Who, we're talking about, not old Jack's boat. But yeah, he wrote a couple of episodes, and this is one of those episodes that he wrote. So this was written by the guy that writes Doctor Who. And it's great. It really is. So I can't recommend it enough. After you finish listening to this podcast, go in the show notes and just click on the link and you might be able to listen to that straight after and you won't regret it. You really will not regret it. It's such a lovely, lovely story. And you might think, yeah, but it's for preschoolers. Yes, it is for preschoolers, but it's also for people that like good things. I'm one of those people. You listen to this podcast. That doesn't mean you like good things. That suggests you like things that are shambles. But you would also like this probably. Just do it. 15 minutes, I think you'll like it. And I want to say thank you to Bob Baker. Even though I watch Old Jack's Boat, with the girls. I haven't watched it much for a while because I don't think they show it on CBeebies as much as they used to. But I have watched it, and but I wasn't aware of this episode. So thank you, Bob, for putting me onto it. And I can't recommend it enough. It's a wonderful little Christmas story that you will enjoy. Now let's do this. It's joke time. Your favourite part of the show. My favourite part of the show. Actually, is it my favourite part of the show? Nah, probably not. It's joke time. It's joke time. It's just tell a joke. I've got a feeling this is quite an old one, actually. You might have heard this before, but if you haven't heard it, it's a good one. So if you haven't heard it, you'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, that was good, actually. Yeah, well done, yeah, yeah. If you have heard it, you might think, oh yeah, I haven't heard that one in a while, yeah. Okay, here we go. How did Darth Vader know what Luke Skywalker bought him for Christmas? He felt his presence. Get it? Of course you do. It's hilarious. Thank you. Thank you. I thank you. Yule lugs, Yule lugs. You'll love them, I'll love them, we'll love them, we all love the Yule Lugs, the Yule Lugs, the Yule Lugs, those Yule Lugs, yeah! This episode's version of the Yule Log is called Lil Bub's Magical Yule Log Video. And do you know what? Actually, they had more than one version of this, but I'm going to talk about the first one. So it's an hour long and it came out in 2013. And it is pretty much this cat called... Let me just explain who Lil Bub is. So Lil Bub is a cat, right? Very cute, very, very cute cat. And I've been on their website and I'll read out a little bit what it says about Lil Bub, okay? In July of 2011, she was discovered as the runt of a healthy feral litter in a tool shed in rural Indiana, only a few weeks old. And she was taken in as a rescue when it was clear that she was going to require special care. Since then... she became one of the most loved cats on the planet. She's a published author, she was a talk show host, and she was the star of an award-winning documentary. And she also, or they also, created Lil Bub's Big Fund for the ASPCA. And in her lifetime, apparently, it earned about $500,000, which is really good. Really good. Now, it says that Bub was born with a multitude of genetic anomalies, which all add up to one of nature's happiest accidents. She's what's called a perma-kitten. That means she stayed kitten-sized her whole life. And she also had kitten-like features. She had an extreme case of dwarfism, which meant that her limbs were disproportionately small relative to the rest of her body. So she had quite stubby legs. And her lower jaw was significantly shorter than her upper jaw, and her teeth never grew in properly, which is why her tongue is always hanging out. But she had a very healthy appetite and she could eat like wet and dry food. Sadly, she passed away at the age of 8 in 2019. But she was, you know, one of those famous internet cats. I guess not as famous as Grumpy Cat because I'd never heard of Lil Bub. But I have now. Very cute cat. And she had her own Yule log. This one came out in 2013 and it's an hour long. And the way they've done it is quite interesting, actually. It's her. They've got the Yule log in the background, which is out of focus. I'm not a fan of when it's out of focus, but I'm going to let it slide. And then they've got just Lil Bub just sitting there in front of the camera. And she's like looking around, moving her head, maybe yawning or something. She might scratch. But then it changes after about 2 or 3 minutes into her at a slightly different angle in the centre of the screen, looking in a different direction. And that lasts about another 4 minutes. And then a hand comes in. And he's just sort of stroking her for a bit. I don't know why they added that. Didn't need it. To be honest, I did prefer it, just the cat. And then it cuts back to the beginning again. So the loop is about 7 minutes long. Yeah, that's it. You can hear her purring, which is nice. That's good. And then at the very end, she gets up and walks out of shot. And that's the end. That's the end of the video. An hour of it. If you love cats, then this would be ideal for you. It's got the fire in the background. It's got the crackling noises from the fire, as well as the purring. So, you know, you could stick on some Christmas tunes as well in the background to go with it. Yeah, it's all right. I don't love it because it's not really focusing on the log. It's more focusing on the cat. But if you like cats, and I don't think there's no Christmas decorations either, so it doesn't look that Christmassy. Now, they did do, I think it might have been every year that they did one after the 2013 one. I haven't managed to find all of them, but I didn't spend that long looking, really. But like the first year is the one I talked about, that's just in front of the fire. And then there's another one which is just him in front of the fire, but it's a different fire. And then in later years, he's there, you can see the Christmas tree, they've actually got some either candles or fairy lights on top of the mantelpiece, and he's like sat in, on like a tartan sofa in front of the fire. And another one in 2018, where this one looks like he's in front of one of those gas fires that's got the flames, and he's sort of wrapped in like a Christmas looking red blanket, and there's like a, what could be like a cardboard Christmas tree one side, and a sort of wooden decoration with ornaments hanging off it, tree type shape. Point being, they're all pretty much the same thing, but you know, if you love looking at cats, then look at cats, and this is a cat, so there you go. That's pretty much all I can say about it. Or when I say that's all I can say about it, that's all I want to say about it. So that's this episode's Yule Log, Lil Bub's magical Yule Log video. The first one, yeah, it was 2013, and it was all right. There you go. That's it. It was all right. Let's move on. What the Dickens? This is everyone's favourite part of the show, even more popular than the joke, which I don't understand, but there you go. So this week I want to talk about three different things, and I just really what I'm going to do is just clarify what is meant in the book by this. Now the first one, really interesting, because I never noticed this, right? But I did know that the chapters of A Christmas Carol are referred to as staves. Now in the UK we call them staves. I think in the US and a lot of other countries it's called a stave, which is how music is written. And you know, it's like the five lines with the dots on it. That's how music is written. It's called a stave in the UK, or a staff. And the chapters of A Christmas Carol are called staves. And the reason they're called staves is because it's like a play on words for the fact that it's a Christmas Carol. The book is called A Christmas Carol. And so the chapters are staves of the carol, the song, you see. And I wasn't aware of this, but two of his other Christmas books, The Chimes, which I've read once and didn't really care for, the chapters in that are referred to as quarters, and because when a bell chimes on a clock, they chime the quarter of the hour. They'll chime, the first quarter will be like ding dong ding dong, and then the second quarter or the half of the hour will be ding dong ding dong ding dong ding dong, and then the third quarter is ding dong ding dong ding dong ding dong ding dong ding dong, and then the hour is ding dong 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 dong. I bet you loved hearing me do that. I bet you're there thinking, we get it, don't do all of them, I did, and for that I apologize. So that was the chimes, and they were quarters, and there was only four chapters, so that makes sense. But that's why it's called quarters, because the quarters of the hour. And the cricket on the hearth, which I don't think I even finished it actually. Oh, I don't know. I read it. I tried reading it, but I don't think I got to the end of it. I think it was just not making a lot of sense. I just didn't care for it. And I know that Rankin Bass did a Christmas cartoon of it, and I watched that and thought it was pretty bad. But it is about a cricket that sits on the hearth, kind of like Jiminy Cricket type thing. Although that doesn't talk. It's not like Jiminy Cricket, actually. I don't know why I said that. But the chapters in that book are called Chirrups. Like the noise a cricket makes. So it's like the first chirrup, second chirrup. So yeah, just thought that was worth mentioning, which I was not aware of until I found that out the other day. The second bit I want to refer to, and I'll play the bit for you from the audiobook.
His nephew left the room without an angry word, notwithstanding. He stopped at the outer door to bestow the greetings of the season on the clerk, who, cold as he was warmer than Scrooge, for he returned them cordially. "There's another fella," muttered Scrooge, who overheard him. "My clerk, with 15 shillings a week, and a wife and family, talking about a Merry Christmas. I'll retire to Bedlam."
Now, so Scrooge says he'll retire to Bedlam, and Bedlam refers to a hospital, and this hospital was first founded in the middle of the 13th century, and it was called the Hospital of St. Mary of Bethlehem. But there's quite a lot to say, isn't it? So instead of saying St. Mary of Bethlehem, it was shrunken to Bedlam. And in the 1400s, it started being used more as an insane asylum. And so that's why, to say things are bedlam, things are crazy, it's because it was this, well, nut house, really, as you might refer to it. It's actually quite a sad story, because Bedlam, or Hospital of St. Mary of Bethlehem, was not particularly well run, and establishments like that were literally just for housing lunatics, and they let them get on with it a bit. And this was like a time where people didn't really know how to deal with the clinically insane, so like real cruelty went on there. And the hospital was well known as a place of like noisy raving lunatics, and wealthy people actually took to visiting the place, and people would go to visit just to be entertained by the antics of the lunatics that would live in there. And it's estimated, get this right, yeah, it's estimated that around 100,000 people a year visited the institution just for the purpose of looking at the poor inmates that they had there. 100,000 people a year would go in there just to watch these poor souls. So around 1857, the hospital started being regularly inspected by the government, and today it's known as Bethlehem Royal Hospital. It's not located in the same place, but it is a modern psychiatric research institute. So yeah, so Bedlam is still around. It's, you know, some people sort of talk about it as just a word, but it actually is a physical place that still exists. So that's why he uses the term Bedlam, and people still use it today. I don't know if you're familiar with James Blunt. He sung this.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
The album that came from, one of the best-selling albums of the year, I think it was. Massive. It sold by the bucket load. It was called Back to Bedlam. Yeah, just thought I'd mention that. So, yeah, and just as an aside, if you've ever wondered, probably haven't, but Bethlehem comes from the Hebrew meaning house of bread. That's where the name Bethlehem comes from, the town where Jesus was born, obviously. And what interests me is, like, I wonder if Dickens was aware that the term came from St. Mary's of Bethlehem Hospital. But, you know, and I wonder if he used that term because it's sort of Bethlehem is related to Christmas. I don't know, but I just, yeah, I found that one quite interesting. So the third thing I want to talk about, and this is only a short one, I'm going to play the clip for you.
If I could work my will, said Scrooge indignantly, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. He should.
Now, we're all familiar with that phrase, and it's one of those that's in most versions of A Christmas Carol. Even in The Muppets Christmas Carol, Michael Caine uses that line, you know, and it's a pretty nasty line. And you might be thinking, well, he's off a bit there, he's off a bit. And it's like he's sort of wants to torture someone to death, boiling them with their Christmas pudding and using a stake of holly through the heart. But the reason Scrooge says that is because up to the year 1623, so obviously not anymore, like, in fact, they'd stopped doing it over 200 years previous to A Christmas Carol being written. But up to 1623, it was a custom for a murder or a suicide to be buried with a stake through their heart. That's a thing. So Scrooge changing it to a stake of holly to make it more festive, he's really saying that he thinks people that go around with Merry Christmas on their lips are as bad as murderers or people that kill themselves. I don't think they are, really. Not really quite on the same level. Not really. No. But anyway, that's the reason he says that. He's not just being outlandishly nasty. He is actually referring to a custom that people used to do. Yeah. Thought you might find that interesting. That's this episode's What the Dickens. Let's move on. This episode's recommendation is, right, I just want to go back. Do you remember last episode I was telling you that I was going off on my scooter around Wales? Well, I did. I had a blinding time. It was wonderful. I saw some fabulous scenery. I was one bit I was going through the Brecon Beacons, which is like the hill area in Wales, and then I went through Snowdonia, which is sort of like mountainous. They're very small mountains we've got in the UK, but mountains nonetheless, they are mountains. Drove along the coast. I don't want to go into it, I don't want to brag about what I got up to. It was really nice. But while I was riding, because some days I spent like almost 7 hours riding, I was listening to an audiobook by a chap called Bill Bryson. Now, if you've never heard of Bill Bryson, or you've never read anything by Bill Bryson, I highly recommend his books. He's a fantastic author. I've read all of his books now, and they're fantastic. But if you go online, there's a couple of shady websites where you can listen to audiobooks for free. And one of the ones on there I listened to was called The Lost Continent, and that is where Bill Bryson travels around pretty much. I think he travels through 38 of the states. And he originally, Bill Bryson was born in the US, lived there for many years, then he moved to the UK, lived there for I think 10 years, then moved back to America, eventually he moved back to the UK, and now he's living not far from me. Actually, he probably lives about less than 20 miles from me, no, 10 miles from me maybe. Yeah, I've never seen him, but you know, he wrote the book A Walk in the Woods, which was turned into a film starring Robert Redford and Nick Nolte, which I watched actually just after I got back from my travels, because I just enjoyed listening to the audiobook so much. He's written loads of travel books. He's also written books about the English language. He's written A Brief History of Everything, which is also an interesting one. So that's this episode's recommendation, maybe an audiobook or just a physical book by Bill Bryson. He is a fantastic author, and I think you'll get a kick out of his work. Bill, obviously B-I-L-L, Bryson is B-R-Y-S-O-N. That's this episode's recommendation. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it. Yeah, I think I have anyway. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I hope you got something out of it anyway. It's nice to have the girls back on, wasn't it? We haven't had them on here for ages. I mean, they've got their own podcast, so if you want to listen to it, I mentioned it enough times, but I'm Not Complaining with Robin and Juno. Go and listen to that. Just type that in and you should find it. But I do like having them on here, and it was great to have them back. So, yeah, thanks to the girls. Thanks to anyone that sent me an email or anything that I've used in this episode. I've still got a few things that I need to talk about from emails I've received from people. I will be doing that hopefully in the next episode. So thank you very much. If you want to send anything in, I'd love to hear from you. Again, the advice thing I did, a great job of, I might add. The advice thing I did, if you want any advice about Christmas, any dilemmas you need sorting out, I can do that. I mean, I know the girls have got that segment on their podcast, but my advice is by far better than theirs. You heard the advice I dished out, and it was something else, in my opinion. If you want to get in touch, the email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com. If you want to go on the website, it's totalchristmaspodcast.com. My name's Jack. You're beautiful. I'll be back in 2 weeks. You know I love you. Merry Christmas.
Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before.
Maybe Christmas.
He thought.
Doesn't come from a star.